Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh, is daf Yud Zayin. So now we're right at the top over here. Yesterday we had talked about the din of a boreach and where we would think that a boreach should nonetheless get his enek, which we've been calling a tip, which is not really all that accurate. First of all, because you have to pay it, and secondly, it's a heck of a lot of money, as we'll see. It's not just a tip. I mean, you thought 12% was too much, you know, you're in Israel. We'll see. But in any event, you said before, says the Gemara, Omar Mar, you said that in the case that he got sick, so then you might have thought that you're mechuyev to make up the missed time for his illness. Talmud Omar Ubashviyit, you'd say, even if he was sick. Now, what does that mean? The guy buys an Evet Ivri, and by the time he arrives at the house to do his work, he's half dead with pneumonia. So what am I going to do with him? So Vatanya, I mean, would you say afilu chola kol sheish, that the guy was sick the entire period, he doesn't have to make anything up? But the Braita says, chola shalosh v'avat shalosh inu chayav lashlim. If he was sick for 3 years and worked for 3 years, so then he doesn't have to make it up. But if he was sick the entire time, he does have to make it up. So how do you explain that? Because you said afilu chola means brashvit yet say no matter what. Omer of Sheshes, there's two different cases. The first braita that was mashma, that even if he's sick the whole time, that meant that he was unable to perform the kind of heavy-duty work that he was supposed to be doing. He was supposed to be working out in the field and taking care of the farm. The guy couldn't go outdoors, but what he did was, while he was in bed for the 6 years, he did a lot of knitting for you, a lot of sewing for you, whatever. I mean, he did whatever he could do. So that's talking about Bosa Masa Machat. He was doing things that wasn't difficult for someone sick. So because of that, he doesn't have to do the Hashlama. He doesn't do any makeup time because he was working the whole time, even though it's a pretty bad deal for the buyer. By the way, what you just said made no sense. You just contradicted yourself. Agufakasha. You said if he worked for 3 years and was sick for 3 years, so then he's not needed to be mashlim. Enochai v'lashlim. But that means, I mean, doesn't it, any normal reader, that if it was most of the times, it was more than 3 years out of the six, that he was sick, so then it's mashma, that he actually would be chayef to be mashlim, right? But then you say, right after that, only in the event that he was sick the whole time, chola kol sheish, if he was sick the whole time, not most of the time, chayef lashlim, mashma, that if he was sick for 4 years, he doesn't have to be mashlim. So in the same braita, you're contradicting yourself. How do you explain that? No, but the braita is like this. Ochika oma. Chola arba, if he was sick for 3 years, then enochayev lahashli. More than 3 years, then it's the equivalent of being sick the whole time. And he's chayev lahashlim for the whole time, not just for the post 3 years, you see? Because otherwise it would have said, okay, up to 3 years, he's free and clear making up. If he was sick longer than that, then he has to make up the time, but only for the rest of the time. Not true. It's as if he was sick the whole time, and he makes up the whole time. Now, there's a fascinating issue over here, which Tosfos brings, that was Nogea, really very interesting. It was Nogea, actual cases of somebody that was hired to be a school teacher, and he was hired for 6 years. And obviously not as an Eved, there's no din of Eved Ivri, and he was sick during that time. And he was suing that the school system has to pay him because of this Gemara. I mean, after all, it says over here that if he was Chola, so then you don't have to be Mashlim to work. So Tosis points out that there is no comparison of a case of someone who is hired for a job or someone who was a Eved. This entire halacha, by a sochir, you get paid for whatever work you do. But over here, by the Eved, there is an actual ownership, as we saw, of the Eved. And therefore, the fact that he is Oved and is in the Rishus of the Odin is a completely different relationship. He's not being paid for his work. He has a Shibut to the Odin. Now the question is, over the course of 6 years, what is that Shibut? Therefore, Tosfos Paskin, that in this case, where you're paying someone for work, then he's paid for his work, and that's it. If he's sick, then why would he be paid for work that he didn't do? Okay, just an interesting side point in this whole beautiful sugya that makes it very contemporary. All right, continuing on, Tana Rabbana, what is the amount of the tip? Kamamani kimo. So, the Torah mentions three specific things in the pasuk of Hanukkah. Ha'nekta niklo mitzonecha, migoronecha, umiikvecha. And then it adds, asher beracha Hashem Elokecha. So that means that there's three things mentioned over here. Your flocks of sheep, your tvua, because it talks about your threshing floor, your goren, and your wine, the yekef. And then it adds, asher beracha Hashem Elokecha. So what do we learn from there? So Rabbi Meir Shita is 15 selah, five from each one of the three different sets that are mentioned in the pasuk. So you have to pay a minimum of five sla'im from each type, which equals 15 selah altogether you owe him. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's 30 selah. Because we learn it out from shloshim shel eved. And we're going to see why these different shitas. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's chamishim selah, because we learn it out from Erechin. And the greatest of the Erechin is 50. Okay, let's go through each shita. Omar. So first Rabbi Meir says, since the Torah mentions three different minim, and there's a minimum of five selah per min, that equals 15 sloyim. Now, we're very appreciative that Rabbi Meir is teaching us how to do multiplication. However, we actually know that ourselves. Thank you very much, Rabbi Meir. And what the heck do you have to add it up for? Rabbi Meir, minyana atalashmina, what? Rabbi Meir is teaching us how to multiply. Obviously, 3 times 5 is 15. No, he's telling you a big chiddush. Rabbi Meir is saying the important thing is the 15 selah. The derivation is 5 selah per set. But the halacha out of that derivation is that as long as you're giving a total of 15, you don't need to give 5 from each thing. You can be mamayit one thing, make up for it with another thing. That's the point. So he's coming to teach me. I don't care as long as the total is 15. So where does Rabbi Meir get the idea that we multiply the three sets by 5 selah? That he has a gzera shava. And that gzera shava is from the word reikam. Now remember in re'ei, what was the lashon? Lo tishachenu reikam. And where do we find reikam? Amazingly, ko b'chor banecha tifteh v'lo yera'u fanai reikam. Oho. So then that means that reikam is the amount that you pay for pidyon b'chor. It appears in the same pasuk. Therefore, just like Pidyon Bechor is Chamesh Shloim, Avkan Chamesh Shloim, and each one of those is Chamesh Shloim. Wait a minute. What do you mean each one of those is Chamesh Shloim? Maybe the whole thing is Chamesh Shloim. You said that's supposed to be Reikam. Ah, says Rabbi Meir. If it would have said Reikam at the end, right? So let's say the pasuk would have said Gornecha, you'd be right. But first it says, lo tishachenu reikam, and instead, ha'anek taniklo, from these three things. So therefore, the word reikam is meant to mean not reikam from goren, not reikam from tzon, not reikam from the wine, all three of them are not rekam, meaning five shekel apiece. So ikativ rekam lebasof, you'd be right, but ashlechtiv rekam first at the beginning of the pasuk. Throw that rekam to define the tzon, throw that rekam to define the goren, and throw that rekam to define the yekev. But wait a minute, why does Rebbe Meir insist on learning rekam from the Bechor? How about the most famous rekam of all, which is that when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, that you have to lo tereh panai rekam, and instead you have to bring an oilas re'iyah. And how much is an oilas re'iyah? The Gemara in Chagiga learns that an oilas re'iyah is only 2 ma. Not 5 sela, there's 6 ma and 1 sela. So, I mean, that's a big difference. Where does he come out learning that we should explain the makar being from here and not from Eilas Ria? Ah, that's because the Torah says, Asher Biracha Hashem Elokecha. So then that means that you are supposed to be looking for how to give him more money, not less money. And if you're going to darshan this from Eilas Ria, then you're going to be giving him less money. So because of that, the Gzera Shava is meant to, is megala to you, that it's meant to be taken from the din of Bechor and not from Eilas Ria. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's 30. How do I know? Shloshim Shalevet. Where would Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that the din of Enek is learned from the din of an Eved Ivri? Oh, he has a different Gzera Shava. His Gzera Shava is from the word of Natan. So it says, Asher Biracha Hashem Elokecha titein lo. And it also uses that word when it comes to im eved yigach hashor, kesef shloshim shkalim yitain. Ha! So netina means here 30. But wait, Rabbi Yehuda, maybe we should learn out netina from Erechin. After all, Erechin, it says also, v'natan et erkecha, and Erechin has a netina 50. So we should say, mala halan chamishim, afkan chamishim. Okay, first of all, you cannot just decide that you're going to compare something to something bigger. Tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. We always insist that you bring proof that you know what you're talking about. How do you prove that it's meant to be erechim? Furthermore, doesn't it make sense to learn out eved from a din of eved? And not from something that has absolutely no connection to Avodim, which is the dinim of Arachin. And therefore, this makes no sense to ask that we should learn it from Arachin. Why in the world would we learn it out from Arachin? So obviously, the question that we have over here is Tosus's question. We just answered a similar issue with Rebbe Meir, and we said, well, it says Asher Berachacha. And therefore, we go for the upper limit. So how come over here, we don't say the same thing? Why do we have to go to this thing about the Tafasta Meruba and so on? It isn't true. What happened to Asher Berachacha? So Tosis explains that before, when we were talking about Rebbe Meir, we had the Lashon of Rekam appear in two places. Rekam could be either Bechor, or Rekam could be Panai Rekam by coming to the Beis HaMikdash, which is an Eilas Ria. Okay, there we say Asher Berachacha. So take it from the Rekam of the greater amount, which is the Bechor. Masha Einkein over here, we have a Nitina, a completely different Nitina. One is written by an Eved, and one is written by the Erechin. And it's not that we have two separate reikams. We have one reikam. Lo dirupanai reikam, together with pidyon bechor. Now the question is, should we look to the bechor, or should we look to the eilas ria? It's the same reikam. But over here, we've got two separate psukim. We have to decide. Do we compare it to the netina, which is said by Erechin, or do we compare it to the netina that's defined by Eved? In that case, the Asher Berachacha has nothing to do with it. First, decide what you're referring to. You want to refer it to Erechin? And you prove that it refers to Erechin? Fine. Now you've got to question which erechin, the lowest erechin or the highest erechin? Asher berachacha, which is what we're going to say later. That's true. But in the determination of what your primary limud is, you can't use Asher berachacha. Asher berachacha is just teaching you, once you know what the din is referring to, and you have options, then Asher berachacha. Okay? Very reasonable approach of Tosfos. So therefore, in this case, Taina's Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to compare it specifically to Shloshim Shel Eved for two possible reasons. Eved from Eved. Rabbi Shimon says, no, I'm going to go all the way to Erechin. Whoa, why does he go to Erechin? Because he is learning Nitina Me Erechin. Just like Erechin is Chamishim, here too it's Chamishim. But wait, why, maybe it's the lowest Erechin, not the highest Erechin. So, Meima B'pachot Sheba Erechin. Ah, that's something else. It says, Asher B'racha, Hashem Elokecha. And that means, if you've got a question of which Erech, then Asher B'racha tells you which Erech. Hold on a second. You didn't explain to me what right you had to go to Erechin. That you're assuming you go to Erechin. Well, why didn't you compare Nitina to Shloshim Shel Eved? Exactly what we said a minute ago. Nelev Nitina Mi Eved. Shloshim Shel Eved, where if the shor kills an Eved, you pay Shloshim, and it says Nitina there too. So why not learn from the lower value? Ah, that, I mean, is not going to be answered from the din of Asher Berachacha. I mean, first of all, I'm telling you, you should have gone to the lower amount because, like we said, tafasta meruba lo tafasta. That's what we said a minute ago, and we thought that made sense. And furthermore, we said a minute ago, you should learn Eved from the din of Eved, don't you think? Why should you go and learn the din of Eved from something that has nothing to do with Avdus? So why did Rabbi Shimon go and learn a gezera shava of Natina from the wrong place? Ooh, you're right. Okay, forget it. Let's start over again. Rabbi Shimon does not learn from the Gzera Shava of Nitina. That wasn't the Gzera Shava that he was Mekabel. He learned it out from the word for poor, mach, micha gamar. That was a mistake. So when it comes to the Eved, it says v'chi yamuch achicha. And by Erechin, it says imachu meharkicha. So therefore, we learn out a completely different Gzera Shava, which left us no room for another choice. That's where we have these two words. And the Kimocha Chicha by Eved is learned from the Dinim of Erechin. Okay, now, I understand, according to Rabbi Meir, who actually utilizes the fact that there are three different things mentioned in the Pasuk, to multiply 5 times 3 and to end up with 15, then there's a very good reason for why the Torah had to write these three things. Otherwise, we wouldn't have known the 15. But according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, what do I need the three things for? Basically, I'm learning everything out from a Gzera Shava in terms of totals. And therefore, there's no particular meaning to those three things. So, Haitzon Gorim V'Yakev Omeli. Why do I have to spell that out? Ah, good question. But it's for a totally different reason. Haimi Boile L'Kidatanya. That comes out in the Braita. The Braita says like this. Yochulo Yomaniki Melamitzon Gorim V'Yakev. You might think to take that literally. That the only things that you need to give to the guy that's been working for you is these things. Tzon Gorim V'Yakev. How do I know that you should include anything at all as giving him his tip, his enek? Well, after listing those three things, it says, Asher Beracha, Hashem Elokecha. So that means whatever other things were there. Wait a minute. So then why even mention Son, Goran, and Yekeva at all if you're telling me anything? So I should give him like a Mac Air also because he's been working here and I've got some extra Max, you know, or Naftali's got all his old iPads running, lying around. He's ready to give the Evan an iPad here and there, which I know he's done in the past. So what does that mean? That's Lomar Lecha. That teaches me that just like Son and Goren V'Yekev are unique, in what sense? They are part of Asher Berachacha, in the sense that anything that's a bracha keeps growing. The meaning of bracha, remember, is increasing. So these kind of things have a tendency to increase. So if you have sown, they reproduce. If you have things that are growing from the earth, you have tefuah in your goren, you've got wine on you've got grapes on your vines. These things grow, and this is part of a natural process. If you have an iPad, in no time at all, you find you've got 20 iPads, right? So obviously, they must reproduce. Those are the things that you're supposed to be giving because they're shayach to bracha. But how about things that are not shayach to bracha? After all, your computer's memory is always somehow or other getting less and less usable. So therefore, those things would not be included in bracha. So matzon v'goren miyuchadim sheyesh lo bechlal bracha, af kol sheyesh lo bechlal bracha. Now that excludes things like cash, because by now, even the Eved has discovered that money doesn't grow on trees. And therefore, there's no chiyuv of enek, divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, it comes to exclude mules. They can't reproduce. So what's this machlokas over here, mules or cash? So Rabbi Shimon says, no, mules are included because growth does not necessarily mean reproduction. Growth means, look, you got a mule, and he started off as this little cranky animal, and now 3 years later, he's this big, strong mule, so he's doing a good job, you know? And therefore, that's also called shevach, that's a bracha. So, pradot or mishapcham begufayu. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, on the contrary, the thing that grows best is money, not on trees, but in good investments. So therefore, ksafim, avi beiska, you make an investment with money, that's also asher beracha, asher belokecha, v'tzricha. Now the truth is, we need all three things, just to give me this concept of the things that are part of this bracha. Because let's say what is that tzon. What is that tzon? I might have thought that we're only talking about things that are animals, not things that are growing. Therefore, I had to write Goren. If I would have written Goren alone, I would have thought that you're not mechuyev to give him anything that is alive. You could just give him things that are growing. But balei chayim not, because rachman etzon. But the question is, what do I need to mention the yekev for, since that doesn't add a new category? The yekev is coming to be memayet money, according to Rabbi Shimon, and according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's coming to be mamayet pradot, because basically the word, the bracha itself, could have included either of those, you see, as each one explains to the other. Tana Rabbana, Asher beracha Hashem Elokecha, Yochel, so when the Pasuk says, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevorech you on, you might think that this means that it indicates what type of Eved to give a tip to. Namely, if he's been very successful, and since you bought this Eved Ivri, your household has become more efficient, more effective, and has been blessed by his presence, so then you give him a tip. If you do not see that, so then, maybe ein manikin lo. No, that's not what it means, because that's why it repeats. Ha'anik ta'anik, I don't care what happened in your house, mikomoko. The guy's been working, he gets a tip. Now, imkein matam elon ra'asher beracha, it's true that you can determine the size of the tip based on the bracha, but the concept of the tip, that is just an indication of your appreciation for his work and not necessarily for what it is that he managed to achieve. And this may have implications for restaurants as well. So, akola fi habrocha, tein lo. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer, it means exactly what it says. You know, I mean, remember, this is exactly what Lavan said. Nichashti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me all these brochas because of you. Biglalecha. Okay, so therefore I want to give you money. Now that's Dvarim Kibichtavan. Nid Barech Bayit Biglalo. If there was a bracha in the house, then fine, manikimlo. Lo Nid Barech Bayit Biglalo. Ain manikimlo. So what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah do with the pasuk Anek Tanik? No matter what? Remember Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Shita. Dibra Torah, Kilashon b'nei adam. We do not make diyukim when this is the standard way of speaking. You shall surely give him a tip. That's just an affirmative statement, and it doesn't necessarily mean any under any and all circumstances. Tana Rabban. Now, we have this whole sugya. We started a little bit earlier about who inherits the rights to an Eved Ivri or to a Noma Ivriya. So the Braita says like this. An Eved Ivri, if the master who bought him dies, he continues to work for that man's son until Yovel or until Sheish, whatever comes first. But if there are no sons, he does not work for the daughters or for any other heir. No secondary heir. Only the primary heir, who is the ben, is the one who is zocha to the work of the Eved Ivri after his father dies. But an Oma Ivriya, eina ovedet lo et haben velo et habat. Mashein ken, as we saw before, the death of the Odin means that she is completely out of the status of an Oma, and she goes free. And therefore, eina ovedet lo et haben velo et habat. How about the Nirtza? Or a nimkar lo v'kochavim, over there as well. There is no schus if the goy dies of Yerusha. Obviously, we said we're talking about a goy that is under Jewish jurisdiction, and the Beis Din does not allow the son of that goy to take over an Eved Ivri. And if this Eved Ivri was a nirza and he's working until Yovel, the death of the purchaser means that he goes free. And he does not work even for a primary Yoresh, who is the Bain. So now let's take a look at the Makar for all of this. Omrama, you said before that an Eved Ivri is Oved Et HaBen, but not Et HaBat. That is so weird. Where in the world would you get a halacha like that? I mean, either there is Yerusha or there's no Yerusha. I mean, like, who ever heard of this? Ah, the Tana Rabbana. Remember, we darshed this pasuk before. V'avadecha. Sheish Shanim. He works for you and only for you. Sheish Shanim. Lecha velo leyoresh. He does not work for an heir. Masha Enkein, we're going to see, for your primary Yoresh, who's the Ben, he does work. Ata omer lecha velo leyoresh. I mean, you say it only excludes the secondary Yorship. Maybe it means lecha velo leben. You don't work for anybody. Any Yoresh, including your son. I mean, where'd you get the idea that we're going to split, then say the pasuk is referring dafka to other Yoreshim, but for a ben, yes? Ah, because pay attention to the pasuk. The pasuk in Mishpatim says what? Sheish shanim ya'avod. It doesn't say anything about avadecha. It just says he should work. Now, that means he should work even if it's not for you. But wait, didn't we just see in Re'e that he should only work for you and not for your heir? Well, how do you explain that, honey bunch? The only way to explain it is that there's two different levels. A son is seen as someone who's taking your place and is the equivalent of avadcha because of this extra pasuk. He's got to work even if the original buyer dies. So since it's a sheish shanim yavod, that means he's going to work for your son. So, and when it says avatcha, that means not for any other yoresh. Lecha velo leyoresh. Wait a second. You're taking for granted a lot over here. Maybe, I mean, you're saying it means the son and not another yoresh. Let's say the father's brother, right? Guy dies. He doesn't have a son. He has a brother. So he cannot leave that Eved Ivri as a Yerusha to his brother. I don't understand. Maybe on the opposite. Maybe the brother is the one who's Yoresh, his brother, and the son would not be Yoresh. Ah, because look, the idea over here is, remember, that we're saying he can only work for you. Okay, which is the you? Which is more working for you? Which is more working for someone who is taking your place in life? Well, that's a son. How do I know? Because if you buy an Oma Ivriya and you wanted to take that Oma Ivriya for a wife, you can without adding additional money. The original purchase takes her also for a wife when you decide. Well, guess what? You can decide to give that Arma Ivriya to your son. It says, Sobefershin Apostle, Imli Bno Yadena. So then that means that vis-a-vis the ownership, it's another incredible interrelationship of the dinim of intimacy with the dinim of avdus, the relationship of Arma Ivriya to Baalud. If your son is able to utilize the kesef of the kinyan to make her his wife, just as you can, that means that he is the closest thing to you. So therefore, if the pasuk on the one hand says avad shel shesh shanim yavod, and the other pasuk says yavodcha, then the one that's closest to you clearly in this whole sugya is who? The son. Says, wait a minute. I could say the opposite. The one who's closest to you is your brother. Because if a person dies, then his brother is the one who continues reproducing for him. The son can't do that. And therefore, the din of Yibum, again, the interrelationship of the sugya is mind-boggling. So when it comes to Yibum, a brother takes your place. Son doesn't take your place. Aha! So therefore, if we have a contradiction in the psukim, on the one hand, the Avad Ivri works, on the other hand, he only works for you. How do we explain it? The brother. Nah, says the Gemara. Listen, if you had a son, there wouldn't be any evil. Don't you understand? So what are we saying? Your son can't take your place. You're damn right your son can't take your place, because there's no Yibum if there's a son. The din of Yibum is where there was no heir. So that, again, just shows that the primary is the ben and not the ach. So, kum yesh yibum ela b'mokum she'ein ben, ha'yesh ben ein yibum. Aha! Wait, hold on. You're saying that if I wouldn't have had that brilliant question, I mean, if I couldn't have shown you that obviously yibum cannot be used to prove that a ach is closer than a ben, so then I would have gone for your argument and I would have said a brother is better because he's kamtachas achiv for yibum. Why? All I need to say is, look, there were two things where a son is omed in the place of his father. One is yiud, but there's another one. And the other one is stay achuza. Just to give you quickly the rundown on stay achuza, that if somebody sells his nachala and somebody gives his nachala to Hegdash, then the din is he can buy it back. But if he doesn't buy it back from Hegdash and the Gizbar sells it to someone else, then he cannot buy it back. And when Yovel comes, what happens to that stay achuza? It goes to the Kohanim. Oh my gosh. But what happens if his son buys it back? If his son buys it back, then it's like the father buying it back. And it does not go out to the Kohanim. It comes back in Yovel. Haha. So you see that both in the sugya of Stei Achuza and in the sugya of Ye'adena, Livno Ye'adena, a son is closer to you than a brother. So I've got two reasons to prove a son is closer. So why do I need this argument? You know, I mean, it's cute if it wouldn't be for the son. For the if there would be a son, there wouldn't be any brother in Yibum. But still, I mean, isn't this an unnecessary thing? Says the Gemara, no. Actually, I could still have the same raya, you see. Because the only way that I know the din of Stei Achuza, I don't know which person the pasuk was speaking about there when it contrasted an acher to leish acher. And the only way we figured out that that's a reference to the son, meaning that if it was sold to a son, then it would be still as if it's sold to you, was because of this exact argument that klum yesh yibum ela b'makom she'ein bein, because otherwise we have the same exact question of how do you know it's a son and not a brother? So in the end, you're going to need this argument anyway, you see? So what good would it be to say there's two? All that would have happened is we would have said, okay, where are there two? Stei Achuza. How do you know that it means a son by Stei Achuza? Maybe it means the brother. And we would have ended up saying this. Because klum yesh yibum, ela b'makom she'ein bein. So what the heck? We might as well go to it right off the bat, right? And therefore, we didn't bother driving you crazy to go through the whole thing of Stei Achuza. It's beautiful. So this makes perfectly good sense. Now, then you said, Oma Ivriya Eina Ovedet Lo Etaben Velo Etabat. Over there, there's no Yerusha whatsoever. How do we know that? Omar of Pada, the Omar Kra, the Afla Amatechata Asekin. So remember, in that pasuk, it was Masha. First thing you read is Vilakachta et Hamartzea Vinatata Ba'azno Ba'delet Vayalacha Eved Olam. The Afla Amatechata Asekin, which sounded like you are going to take an all to the ear of your Oma if she decides she wants to stay. Now, we know that's not true, as we'll see in a moment. So what does that mean? Why is it saying it here together with Ritzia? Because the Torah wants to make a hekesh of an Oma to a Nirtza. Hikisha katuv l'Nirtza. Just like a Nirtza does not work for anybody, as we said before, because it says va'avado, only him, la'olam, and not to any heir. So too, he's enoved lo etaben velo etabat, anoma ivria is also enoved lo etaben velo etabat. But wait a minute, that's not what afla matrata said, Cain. That comes to tell me that you have to give a tip even to your oma, where it never said that. It only said it by kiyamu chachicha. So how do we know that? We know it from there. That teaches us lahanik. You have to give her that tip. You say it means lahanik. Maybe it means what it says. To put an awl through her ear if she wants to stay. No. We already learned before from the pasuk. Im omor yomar ha'eved ahavti et adoni. Only an eved can have ritzia, not an oma. So we know that it's not referring to ritzia, haritzia amur. So what then is the meaning of the word afla matchata sekein, that you should do the ha'anaka that you would do to an eved, to her? The imkein as the Gemara. So if this is the case, then how do we get both of these dinim? Because if it was coming to tell me only the din, that there's no Yerusha because she's like a Nirtza, it should say, La Amatcha Kain, Af La Amatcha Kain. What do you mean, Ta'ase Kain? I don't do anything in defining the laws of Yerusha. So since there's Ta'ase Kain, it means besides the din of Yerusha, Af La Amatcha Kain, that there's no Yerusha after the death of the Yodain, there's something you have to do when she's Yotze. What's that? That's to give her her tip. Shema mina tarte. Therefore, we now know both of these halachas and everything is A-okay. There's a din of Hanukkah, and there's also no din of Yerusha, not to the ben and not for the bat. And as we said, a nirtza, that was the last piece that we had in the Braita, a nirtza, or someone who was sold to a goy, does not work for heirs. How do I know? Nirtza, because it says, Ratzadunavet oznobamatzea, va'avado, only avado, lo etaben velo etabat, and a nimker lo vikachavim, how do we know, does not give his rights when he dies to his heirs, amar chizkiya, amar kra, because in that parsha, what does it say? Vichishavim koneu. You only make the cheshbon with the buyer. The buyer is the father, not with the yoresh koneu. Amar Rava, you know what you see from here? An amazing thing. If we need a pasuk to tell me that he does not give rights to his Eved Ivri, to his son, who is a goy, then you see from here that there is a din of Yerusha Midiraisa for a goy for his son. Because otherwise, why do we need a pasuk to tell me that he doesn't give the rights if there's no din of Yerusha? Obviously, there are no rights to be Morish. You see from here, Dvar Torah, Ovekachovin Yoreshet Aviv, Shenemar, if the pasuk needed to say Vechishavim Koneu, Veloim Yorshe Koneu, obviously there are Yorshe Koneu in the Torah. So Michlal de Itle Yorshim. That's a very important halacha. And furthermore, I also want to point out to you that a ger, meaning he had a son that became a ger, now there, that ger loses his rights to the Yerusha of his goyish father, because he's considered to be not related any longer to his father, Midiraisa. Nonetheless, the Rabbanan made a takona that even a ger inherits his father who's a goy. So gerat ovet kochavim, enu midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. Because, and this it says in the Mishnah Beferish in Demai, Ger the Oved Kochavim Shiyoshua Taviyem Oved Kochavim. It talks about a case where they both inherited a father, and there was some Avodah Zorah, and the Ger doesn't want the Avodah Zorah, so he can say to his brother, who's a goy, he could say, look, I don't want any of this Avodah Zorah garbage. You take all of that, and I'll take the bank account. Or you could say, you say to the goy, you take all the wine, which of course is Yayin Nesach, and I'll take the peiros from the field. But once it came into his reshus, then it's osur, because then he is switching Avodah Zorah for something that he's taking money for. You're not allowed to sell Avodah, it becomes osur ba'ana. Now, if you're going to tell me that midiraisa, he actually was given a Yerusha the moment his father died, then that means that he owns this Avodah Zorah. So how in the world can he switch it out? Therefore, it must be, because it would be even kilobo l'shusunami. Because when he's taking it, kishakel, he's taking something as a replacement for Avodah Zorah. Clearly, the whole din is the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan made a takana that he should be Yoresh. Why should he be Yoresh? Because otherwise, you're putting him in a terrible position. The guy became a ger last week. He was in no idea his father's going to die the next week. His father dies, leaving $200 million to his brother, and he doesn't get a penny. I did something of a bad deal. I think I should actually go back to being a goy. Sorry, gentlemen, it's been fun. Okay, so like, how's he going to withstand the $200 million that he was supposed to get half of? So because of that, we made a takana that he should be Yorish's father, even though he's technically not related. But when we made that takana, we made the takana in such a way as to say that only when he actually gets the baalut of the Avodah Zorah, only then is it his, but it's not instantly his when the father dies, in order to make sure that he won't have this problem of switching out all of that Yayin Nesach and Avodah Zorah stuff. Okay, gentlemen, we almost made it. So, agave concept? You think it should be? That what? That it's Darabonin or that Jeremy Divrei?
It's a constant concern.
No. Bad idea. I'll tell you why. Because the Achronim talk about whether it's appropriate to use the word suro here. Because that's not the point. Suro means we go back to being Ovid of Azorah. And this is a bad place to make that the Makar. So Rava brought a raya that it's clear that as far as the Torah is concerned, an Ovid Kochavim will inherit his father. Why? Because we just brought a raya. V'vichi shavim koneu. Which means Loim Yorsheko Neu. Why would we need a pasuk to tell me Loim Yorsheko Neu if he doesn't have such a thing as Yorshim? That's ridiculous. So obviously, the Torah is taking for granted that we need to understand that Isle Yorshim. He does have Yorshim, but if he bought an Eved Ivri, those Yorshim do not inherit the Eved Ivri, assuming that he's living under Jewish jurisdiction. Now, what about, continues Rava, what about a case of a ger? I think we did this yesterday also, we're just running through it again. A ger is Yoresh's father. Oved Kochavim? No. Not from Divrei Torah, but he is Yoreshim from the Dinim of Derabbanan. And how do we know that? Because we said that if a goy dies and he leaves two sons, one is a ger and one is a goy. So they're both inheriting their father, and the father has Avodah Zorah in his possession, or Yayin Nesach in his possession. So the ger can tell the Oved Kochavim brother, you take the Avodah Kochavim, I'll take the cash, or you take the Yayin Nesach, and I'll take the cucumber. So that's fine. But Mishabol Rishus Ger, once they came into the Rishus of the ger, he can't change it back, because Esau Kadaita, now the din is, it would be obviously awesome. The proof now is that this cannot be a deraisa, is because if the Yerusha was the deraisa, what's the difference between his coming into his Rishos or not coming into his Rishos? Remember, midiraisa, a Yerusha becomes the heirs entirely without his needing to do any kinyan on it. So what do you mean, bo b'rishosa? He would not be allowed to exchange the Avodah Zorah right off the bat. Soski Shakel. If he would, then he would be taking something that was a chalipin. It was a replacement for Avedis Kochavim. Therefore, it must be that the whole din is only the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan, at the time that they made this takana, that a ger should inherit his father, a goy, they made it with the provision, as Tosis explains, that the chalos of the actual Yerusha is only when it comes into his Rishus, specifically in order to avoid this complication of inheriting things that are usur, and then would be a complete loss for him because he wouldn't be able to exchange it for something that would be usable. And why did the Rabbanan make a gezeira that a ger should be Yoresh, his father, who's a goy at all, since actually they're not really related? So as we said, this is where we got up to yesterday. It's a gezeira l'dovid Rabbanan shema yachzor l'suro. We don't want the pressure of losing out on all of that money in the Yerusha to affect the ger, and he'll say, boy, did I make a big mistake becoming Jewish, and I'm going to lose out on $100 million over here. So it would be, in order to avoid that, we allow him to actually go and collect his hundred million bucks. Okay. And it's clear that it must be a drabonet, because Tanya Amiachi, when do we say that you can take money if you're a ger and give it the brother, an Avodah Zarah or Yayin Esach? That's only through Yerusha. But if they were already in a business together while they were goyim, and now the ger wants to split and to take the cash out of the business and let his brother, who was in business with him, let his brother take the Avodah Zarah, the Yayin Esach, whatever the situation was, he can't do that. Why? That's clear that because over there he is the complete owner. So he's actually being Machlif Avodah Zarah, which is Isser, or Yayin Esach, which is Isser for Heter. That's no good, because it's going to be Tofes, it's Mami. Masha Inkain, apparently, the Yerusha he didn't really own. How is that? Must be it was only the Rabbanan. That's where we got up to yesterday. So, now we continue. How about an Oved Kochavim? This guy, this Goy, he wants to be Yoresh, his father, who is a Ger. Or, both father and son converted. So now, a ger will inherit the ger. There the Rabbanan did not provide anything. No mi divrei Torah, below mi divrei Sofrim. They are simply not related. Ditznan, we see in the Brayta, lo vam ma'ot ben ager, shenit gairu ban avimot. If somebody borrowed money from a ger, and this ger, he came with his whole family. So his children became gerim with him. And then the guy dies, lent him money. So now the borrower wants to return the money. The guy is not alive. He wants to return it to the children. He does not have to return it to the children. Lo yachzir levanav. And if he thinks, but I mean, I want to return it to the children just to be a nice guy. V'im yachzir, ein ruach hachomim nochayim enu. He's not, this doesn't mean ein ruach hachomim nochayim enu, that the chachomim are upset with him, that he's doing the wrong thing. It means he does not get any brownie points. That's what it means. In other words, if he thinks that he's doing something right, and if he would ask a chacham, oh, yeah, of course, that's what you should. It's not true. It's completely, he wants to give a gift. It's his business. But there's absolutely no chiyuv whatsoever in terms of the dinim of Yerusha. You're just giving a gift to these people. That's all. Now, the problem is, remember, we, all of us here, just learned in Masechet Shviyos when we made the Siyum, and we learned the end of Masechet Shviyos. What does it say over there? That in that case, Ruach HaChomim are Nochem. I don't understand. We compare that, remember, in the Mishnah to the case of a guy who comes after Shviyos, after Shviyos was bevatel the loan, and he wants to pay back the loan. And the guy says to him, but it's, I'm Moichel on the loan, because the Torah says, you don't have to pay me. And the guy says, Afal Pikein, I want to pay you. So over there we said that that's a very nice thing. And we added that there, the same way Ruach HaChomim Nochemenu, the same thing would be true in this case. Ruach HaChomim Nochemenu, if he pays back a loan to the children of the ger. So I don't understand. How could we possibly say that there's no Ruach HaChomim Nochemenu in this Braita. The Braita is a steerer to the Mishnah at the end of Shvi'is. Answers the Gemara, there's no problem. There are two different situations. Lo kasha. Kan shahorato veledato shelo begidusha. In a case where the child was born, and then he went ahead and became a ger, so that there was a separate gerut, and he's not the child of the ger at all. Okay, but in the other case is where he was already conceived at the time that his mother was mitgayeret. But while he was born already bigdusha. He was born as a complete Jew. So the truth is that his relationship to his father is exactly the same once there's the gerut, and there's certainly no chiyuv to pay him back. But in the case where the child was born b'kedusha, and people have no idea, really, that he is not related to his father, because at the time that he was born as a regular Jew. And therefore, people will make the mistake, this is how Rashi understands it, people will make the mistake of thinking that you don't have to pay back a debt to an heir, because they think this guy is a regular heir. So because of that, the Mishnah says, someone who pays him back, their ruach hachomim noichemenu, that's the correct thing to do to avoid having people think that you don't pay back a loan to the heirs. Okay, so that's not a problem.